Hello friends, I have to tell you all about C60 Purple Power. Since I started using C60, which may be the most powerful antioxidant known to man, I feel amazing, and you should too. I have more energy, I sleep better, and I've lost over 30 pounds. But please go check it out for yourself. It has so many amazing benefits. Just click the link in the description or visit C60PurplePower.com and use coupon code KNOWLEDGE10 to get 10% off your order plus free shipping. That's C60 Purple Power. Welcome back to the Forbidden News Update. I'm Chris Matthew. With me is Corey Hughes. How you doing, Corey?
Excellent, thank you.
Yes, before we get started, I want to tell you about, of course, how you can protect yourself from harmful EMF radiation. EMF Harmonized offers protection from harmful electromagnetic frequencies for your phone, for your computer, your tablet, routers. I have one on all my devices. It's a disc that goes directly on your devices, and I've already noticed a difference. I have more energy. Even after spending hours near my computer, I'm sleeping better, not as groggy. You can also get their awesome bracelets that offer the same protection as the strips. They were created by a mechanical engineer with 3 decades of experience in EMFs and telecommunication. Just use the link in the description to check out EMF Harmonize and protect yourself today. Please subscribe to Forbidden Knowledge News on lbry.com. It's our official backup channel, or lbry.tv. We're currently under a YouTube strike, and we cannot post there until Friday. We're going to be talking a little bit about that tonight. We also have a brand new show called Beyond Classified. It is exclusively on Rockfin. Rockfin is awesome. It's an amazing new platform for free thinking content creators. We're going to be talking about that too as well. It's very important to the future of this show, actually, and to the future of many shows. And like I said, I'm going to be talking a little bit more about that soon. You can also get tickets to Forbidden Knowledge NewsCon 2021. It's going to be April 2nd, 3rd, and 4th. 12 amazing presenters. Go to forbiddenknowledge.news to check out this year's awesome lineup. You can get your pre-sale tickets now. Also, anyone that signs up for Rockfin is going to get a $10 off coupon for those tickets. You'll be receiving an email about that. And finally, I hate asking for them, but we could really use donations this month. This is the month that Spreaker fucked us out of our payment. So basically, anything would be appreciated. Any way you'd like to help to keep us afloat, donations, supporting our sponsors. But we could really use help this month because Spreaker just shorted us basically a whole month's pay. So we'll be back. We should be back on board next month with everything and should be back afloat. So anything would be gratefully appreciated. And the link to donate is also in the description. So first thing I want to talk about is, of course, the future of this show. If you haven't noticed, YouTube's given us a strike. We can't post there until Friday. It's time to move on, guys. It's time to move on from this draconian censorship shithole platform that you call YouTube. It's just as easy as putting a different web address in your browser to listen to our show. That's it. You can get all our content for free on all the platforms we're on. First and most awesomely is Rockfin. We're streaming live on Rockfin right now. You'll be able to find a lot of our live streams going out on Rockfin. You can also get all of our regular Forbidden Knowledge News shows for free on Rockfin with a free account. That's all of our previous episodes. Everything that's coming out for free in Forbidden Knowledge News, you can get with a free Rockfin account. You can also sign up for a premium account. You're going to get not only our regular shows, you're going to get premium episodes of Beyond Classified and Forbidden Knowledge News, as well as access to Forbidden Knowledge News Con 2020, the Anon podcast hosted by Corey Hughes, and tons of other exclusive original content that you won't be able to find anywhere else, some amazing presentations, as well as access to all the other amazing content creators that are there. You got people like Charlie Robinson, Jimmy Dore, Sam Tripoli, Rex Baer, Grimerica is there now, Whitney Webb, so many people, so many awesome content creators. Just go there, check, use the link in the description to sign up for your account. You can sign up for a free account. But like I said, you get that premium account, you're going to get so much with it. You really won't regret that. And Forbidden Knowledge News, it's also on all your popular podcast platforms. As for now, they're really not messing with the podcasts. Those appear to be doing well, so that's another great way to listen to our shows. You won't get the premium episodes, but you will get most of our, all of our free content on the podcast. And LBRY TV. That's our just basically our YouTube backup channel. Everything on YouTube is on lbry.tv, so you can access that there. So there's really no reason that you wouldn't be able to get all of our content somewhere other than YouTube. It's, like I said, it's as easy as putting a web address, a different web address in your browser, and you got Forbidden Knowledge News. So, yeah, we're just trying to get everybody off of YouTube because it fucking sucks. Anything you'd like to add to that, Corey?
No, you pretty much nailed it. And I've worked with content creators for a long time, since 2016. And I've been warning all of them that these days are coming, and that if you're going to be on YouTube for now, expect that the day is going to come when you're going to be censored. And I was working mostly with the Bitcoin guys for a lot of years. And so far, Bitcoin is still is not considered a threat, you know, but you're going to see some cryptocurrency censorship coming up in the years to come for sure. But yeah, I knew this was coming. I've been warning people about this for a long time. And the problem with YouTube is that it's convenient because everyone's on YouTube, so you can follow 100 different people in one platform. It's really easy. But at the same time, it's a double-edged sword, because when you get kicked off of YouTube, you get screwed royally and your reach drops to next to nothing. So fortunately, we've been putting most of our efforts into the audio podcasting and other platforms, and we've been preparing for this moment for a long time.
Yeah. We've been preparing for a long time. We could see it coming, and it's not going to get any better. Not that I see. Not anytime soon, at least. So just, you know, support us, support your independent platforms. That is a great way to help us out. And you can still get all of our shows that way. So check out Rockfin. That is just the best, you know, the best place we found so far for independent content creation. And they treat us great, and it's a great family there. You're going to find, you know, the best of the best when it comes to the independent media on Rockfin. So go check it out. The link is in the description. So let's see. What do I have to get to first tonight? I want to get to this story about Coca-Cola. This is, I can't help chuckling every time I see it, just because of the ridiculousness of this. Coca-Cola is facing backlash online because as it has responded to allegations of anti-white rhetoric after an internal whistleblower leaked screenshots of diversity training materials that encourages staff to try to be less white. On Friday, Carolyn Boryinsko, an activist who supports banning critical race theory, shared images from an internal whistleblower of the company's online racism training. The slides included tips to learners to how to be less white, less ignorant, less certain. That one gets me too. Less defensive, less ignorant, and more humble. In the United States and other Western nations, this article says white people are socialized to feel that they are inherently superior because they are white. One of the slides read, research shows that by age 3 to 4, children understand that it is better to be white. Are you kidding me here? Coca-Cola. Now first, before I go on with this story, I have never been racist in any way. I don't understand racism. I think we're all just fucking human beings, and I don't see what's the problem with being a human being. But many people do, and they want to separate us. And this is racism being caused by this media, by the system perpetuating. This is not us doing this. This is insanity. This is, okay, a Coca-Cola spokesperson confirmed that the course is part of learning plan to help build an inclusive workplace, but also noted that the video circulating on social media is from a publicly available LinkedIn learning series and is not a focus of our company's curriculum. Yeah, bullshit. A Coca-Cola sign hangs over a vending machine at the Woodbury Common Premium Outlet Shopping Mall on November 24, 2020 in Central Valley, New York. Our Better Together global learning curriculum is part of a learning plan to help build an inclusive workplace, the spokesman said in a statement. It is comprised of a number of short vignettes, each a few minutes long. The training includes access to LinkedIn Learning, a variety of topics, including diversity, equity, and inclusion. So, apparently, being white is terrible. I mean, it, you know, 2020, 2021 became the year that it's not cool to be white anymore. So, we can only see where this is really going. There's so many directions that this could possibly go, and none of them are good. What do you think about this, Corey?
You know, again, this is people focusing on the wrong things. This is more identitarian politics. And things like this, and even the reaction to things like this, are seemingly designed to kind of spark a reaction and continue the conversation on race when race is like the last factor that anyone should ever use.
It's 2021. Race should not even be an issue anymore.
I agree completely. It's the last metric you should use to judge any person. Really, it is. But these things, racism in particular, has been used as a tool to drive us apart. You know, and it's been done intentionally by a particular group of interested parties, so to speak.
Yeah, and we can only see where this is going, along with the view that right-leaning or conservative-leaning people should be considered dangerous or even possibly need re-education or re-education camps. It's going along with that whole narrative of, you know, if you lean anywhere towards a conservative leaning, you're going to be considered a racist or a Nazi. And you're going to have to, you know, be put in some kind of re-education camp. So this is all going in very concerning directions. And you can see how these things are developing. And it's no one's actually pushing back at any level, especially on any political level. I'm not saying Trump was even really pushing back at all, but he would, you know, at least call out some bullshit every once in a while. But who knows? And now we have allegations against Trump from Ghislaine Maxwell, you know, saying that they have tapes of Trump, you know, allegedly raping young girls. Which, you know, I probably don't doubt it. He's a scumbag, just like the rest of them. You know, I don't know for sure, but I really wouldn't doubt that there's tapes on there. But why is Trump still an issue at this point? He's not president. He's not in any kind of picture. You know, I can understand, yeah, what they wanted. Impeach him so he can't run again. The impeachment didn't work, so you know, I don't know.
Well, you know, if the impeachment didn't work, which means he can run again in the next election, and that is key. They were trying to, number one, they were trying to stop him from running in the next election, and they were trying to strip him of his presidential pension and all that stuff. So the level of hypocrisy I see here is just overwhelming. And it's really kind of strange. Over every 50, 60 years, you get like a polar shift of the political parties, right? And I've said this before, there's always a good guy and there's always a bad guy, right? And so, but it seems like the polar shift has completed and the Democrats are back to being the bad guys again, which is really unique. Because growing up in like the 1980s, my parents were Democrats. All their friends were Democrats. Everyone was a Democrat. You know what I mean? It seemed like that was the workers or the People's Party. But not anymore. Not anymore at all.
Yeah.
They don't seem to care about the little guy or small business or any of that stuff.
Now, speaking of major political and social shifts, one of the other agendas we're seeing that is as soon as Biden took office, it's like, you know, this agenda was important, really important. The whole transgender, you know, getting transgender women into sports and, you know, getting in all these positions in the military. You know, I don't. And again, I don't have a problem. Do whatever the hell you want. I don't have a problem if you're gay, straight, trans, whatever. But when you're trying to push these narratives onto the mainstream that could hurt people, like when female athletes are getting their skulls crushed by this MMA man who decides he's a woman all of a sudden, you know, things like this to me, this doesn't – on any level, how does it seem right to people who are agreeing with this? I don't understand it. But yet it's it's an agenda for some reason. They want people to be these people to be integrated into regular sports, women's sports. And I think that's just disgusting, really. I mean, it's not right. I don't see how it's fair in any way to have these women brutalized like that or competition beyond what they're, you know, capable. It's a man, really. It was amazing.
Yeah, and that story just came out about the 50-year-old guy on the college women's basketball team.
Right, yeah.
That's just pure insanity, right? You know, there comes a point at which you can empathize with how somebody feels, right? They identify as a man or a woman, and they're in their wrong body. Hey, that's fine. I can sympathize. I can empathize. But you have to draw a line somewhere, and you have to face reality, right? And these people do not want to acknowledge the recognized science. There is really very little ambiguity when it comes to the sexes. We don't have a third option. That's just reality. And when it comes to things like men fighting in women's MMA, that's just unacceptable. You put people in harm there. Even in things like basketball, you can overpower somebody and accidentally hurt them. So no, it's absolutely ridiculous. Sorry about your luck. You drew the short straw. You know, it's like, you know, the transgender community is 0.008% of the population. Something so ridiculously low, I don't even feel it should be catered to in any regards, other than the usual tolerance that we afford to everyone.
I agree. And something that's going along with this is we have this side of censorship that is censoring everything that's going against the new narratives and alternative viewpoints, but the alternative viewpoints are now shifting into like mainstream viewpoints, what used to be these weird, you know, transgender people becoming normalized. All this stuff is being kind of reversed. And now we're looking at censorship of people who are actually wanting things to be normal again or don't agree with the transgender thing. Example, Amazon recently removed a book from an author, Ryan T. Anderson, called When Harry Became Sally. It's responding to the transgender movement and kind of just giving it a critical look at, you know, what's really going on here, probably politically. And the book doesn't come out and criticize it, but it's giving it a critical look at what is really going on here, and it's being removed because it goes against this, I guess, agenda that, you know, it's okay to roll out this new transgender movement, this craziness, and that's what's going on all around the board with any kind of critical thinking. If you're critical thinking, you're going to get censored. You're going to get banned.
And, you know, recently there have been articles about, God, I forget if it was Congress or who was talking about it, but removing the words like breast from breastfeeding because it was too gendered. This is starting to become insanity. Really, it is.
Yeah, I don't understand what's happening here. It's definitely a direction that I saw it coming for a long time, and I was hoping that more people would kind of just not be okay with some of these agendas and narratives coming out. The transgender thing, in my view, it goes along with this transhuman agenda of just not having to be yourself. It's kind of like a way that you can be basically whatever you want other than what you were born as, which is fine. If you want to be a fucking dog, a cat, a robot, I don't care. You be whatever you want. But when it comes to a point of changing laws and changing other people's lifestyles because you want to be an alien or a woman and you want to compete as that and you want rights as that, that's when things get I have to draw the line and I say, nope, we're not going to participate in that. They can do that all they want. Give them their own league. Give them their own whatever. Give them whatever the hell they want. It just doesn't have to involve the rest of the world like these agendas are trying to do, trying to force us to participate in essentially this sick ritual, whatever the hell it is. That's what I see it as. And I think we need to say fuck no to this.
Well, you can't force ideas onto people, like plain and simple. You really can't. And that's exactly what they're trying to do with this, trying to force this onto people as normal. Is really quite unacceptable. They're going way over the top in what companies are doing to kind of appease such a small segment of the population. I mean, I don't know if the amount of lawsuits that they are afraid of would total enough for them to implement programs like this, like we saw at Coca-Cola, which is directly connected, even though it's not transgender, it's directly connected identitarian issue. So I don't know if it's purely from are they pretending to be woke, or is it from a legal aspect is whether they're coming up with these policies? I really don't know. But it's definitely the intention is good, but the implementation is horrible.
Yeah. The implementation of most of the things happening right now are horrible. Let's get into a little bit of what's going on with this death jab. Have you been up to date on how many people have died in adverse reactions or anything lately?
Yeah, well, here's the thing. According to the VAERS website, V-A-E-R-S, it's the adverse reaction, vaccine adverse reactions website. They have currently listed in the U.S. over 1,000 deaths that are attributed to the vaccine. And the problem is pretty much under the assumption that only around 1% of these reports of adverse reactions are what they're documenting. They've only got, so 99% of the adverse reactions are not being documented in any way at all. So if you have 1% of the amount of adverse reactions actually being documented and you have a death count of over 1,000, what you're really looking at is upwards of 100,000 immediate deaths from the vaccine. And that to me is scary as it gets.
Yeah, that's fucking terrifying. Along with not only that, but, you know, adverse reactions, people coming up with blotches all over their skin, being half paralyzed in their face. And we don't know the long-term side effects of this. Unfortunately, I've had family members that opted to take this, elderly family members. So far, they haven't had any adverse side effects, but I'm very concerned. Just because they are elderly, they have underlying health conditions, never got COVID before, don't really understand what's going on with this whole thing, but decided to go ahead and take it. And I have, you know, quite a few friends and family that are going to have to because of travel. You're going to not be able to travel soon if you don't have this jab. How much of the military did you say was, like, refusing this?
From what I saw, it was like 70%.
That's amazing. Our own military, our own healthcare workers, you know, over, I think it's close to what, half of the healthcare workers aren't taking it or more. That should tell you something. I don't think it's a good idea. I have some people that are saying, just wait till more companies come out. You know, don't take the Pfizer or Moderna one. But I don't know if that's going to matter, because I think it's all about this RNA bullshit that they're putting in there. You know, they say they're putting out all this narrative, oh no, it doesn't alter your DNA, it has nothing to do with that.
Well, supposedly, I guess the Johnson & Johnson vaccine that they're coming out with is a traditional vaccine. It does not use the mRNA technology. So the worst case that can happen with that is you get the shot and you get COVID. Right. But all the other ones, except for there's another kind. I believe the Sputnik V, the Russian vaccine. I don't believe that's mRNA technology either. I believe they're using something else. So it's just these, you know, Moderna, Pfizer, these American companies who are all connected to Fauci. They're the ones who are really pushing for this mRNA stuff. And the thing that I really can't emphasize enough is that this mRNA encapsulation technology, they've been working on this for 20 years. It has been exclusively an HIV treatment therapy, exclusively, never used for anything else. And then all of a sudden, they have the same technology for COV-2, which, according to Jean-Claude Perez, uses the spike glycoprotein of HIV that was inserted in a fucking lab. So this has been, to me, it's so obvious that this is an HIV therapy that they're injecting people with. And I guess the idea is that it will make you immune to numerous other diseases and viruses, not just coronavirus, not just HIV, but a whole spectrum of things. And it's never been proven to work. Never, not once. And so that's why it doesn't have FDA approval. This is another thing that's very important. None of this shit has FDA approval. This has FDA emergency use authorization only. And it only is allowed to be used because we're in a state of emergency. If we were not in a state of emergency, every single bit of this, the testing, the vaccines, all this stuff would be completely illegal. And so they're going to maintain the state of emergency forever.
Now, speaking of the testing, I remember earlier you were telling me about a gentleman who put out a video on BitChute. You're still trying to confirm this. But when you take out the new form of testing, what is it called?
The PCR testing.
It was just influenza that he was testing for, right? I mean, that was coming up.
Right. There's a video circulating right now, and the guy claims to be a molecular biologist, and that he and a team from 7 universities, they took 1,500 actual positive COVID tests from Southern California, tested all 1,500 of them, and all they ever found in any of them was influenza A and influenza B. They did not find any COVID as per the known genomes. So the video hasn't been confirmed for authenticity yet, but according to the video, they're suing the CDC, claiming that COVID is a complete fraud because they could not find any COVID in these 1,500 positive samples.
Yeah, that's absolutely, it's a joke. So basically, I'm still trying to figure out, you know, if this whole thing, you know, like you were saying earlier, it was something in the beginning. People were dying. You actually got something, but it shed itself of these spiked glycoproteins and just died out. And now we're just looking at the flu, which doesn't exist anymore, according to the CDC. So that's what they just did, a flip-flop on us.
Right. And another thing people need to understand is that when you're dealing with a live virus, you're looking at between 30 and 40,000 pairs of nucleotides. When you are testing using PCR, you're testing for only between 12 and 18 pairs of nucleotides. Out of 30 to 40,000, you're looking for 18 pairs, 12 to 18 pairs. So you can find a combinations of 12 to 18 pairs in virtually anything. Really, you could. The testing is a complete fraud. And honestly, I'm at the point where I'm like, Jesus Christ, are we still talking about this? Because like, it's so obvious of a fraud that I can't believe they're still trying to perpetuate this bullshit. And here's another thing. So they've been talking about this variant, the variant's all over, the variant's killing everybody. It's from England and South Africa, and the variant's fucking everybody up. Well, the Russians just came out last week with what they said was the very first test for this new variant. So how the fuck had they been testing for the variant thus far if the first test just came around now? How? They making the whole thing up? I have to say yes.
Yeah. I don't know, man. People need to more people need to wake up to this shit. It seems like, you know, we're not hearing anything controversial coming from anyone in the news or media anymore. The only thing that we ever heard coming from any politician or anything that was against the narrative was when Trump would throw in his jabs every once in a while. And now that he's not there, it's just quiet. And the media is making it seem like everybody's just going along with it. Everything's fine. Everybody's taking the vaccine. You don't hear any more negative news because of the censorship. You have to dig deep. You got to go to BitChute. You got to go to all these other platforms just to find out what the hell's going on. Because if you go to Google, if you go to these mainstream news outlets, it's just going to be all sunshine and roses now. Everything's great because Biden's in office, and that's everything I've been seeing, except the only negative thing is if it's talking about if you're white or if you're conservative or if you lean right or if you said something good about Trump, you're going to die. All these things are happening right now, and there's no more controversy coming from anyone now that they're in control of the media, and it's going to keep going that way, I see. So that's just another reason to get on these independent platforms and support people like us on these platforms. So that being said, we were talking earlier also about some of the things that we can do in this environment to kind of break free from the system. And one of those things I believe now that I've been in it and working with it, is cryptocurrencies, especially Bitcoin. We had this big drop today, and people are kind of naysaying. But I think that Bitcoin and cryptocurrencies is, as of now, it's a great way to kind of get started to break away from this system. And I've seen firsthand what you can do with it, what can be made. And, you know, what did you say it was earlier, Corey, the price?
It sounded like 45,000, which is good. It was, what, 57,000 yesterday. So people will say, like, you know, it dropped 12,000. It's a horrible investment. Like, that's what stupid people say. The reality is that the vast majority of the world will never understand Bitcoin, its implications, and how it can free everyone from the current system. But it's the only hope we have. I'm not even kidding when I say we don't need a revolution with guns. We need to take back the fucking money. That's all there is to it. And Bitcoin is the only answer for that.
What about all these other coins that are coming out, you know, Litecoin, Ethereum? They've got a bunch of new ones. We're involved with some. What would you advise if people are, you know, want to dabble around with these coins? What should they look at?
Yeah, well, here's the thing. Like, if you're going to dabble around with cryptocurrencies, what you really want to do is you want to use them as leverage tools to acquire more Bitcoin. That is the goal. You want to, if you get some like a Litecoin or Monero or something, the goal is that'll go up two or three times in price. Then you can take the money that you've made and buy Bitcoin with it. That's the goal, right? So the goal is not US dollars. The goal should be to acquire one single Bitcoin. That's it. One single Bitcoin, and your kids won't have to work. And it, you know, and not to be a hypocrite, but like really more than the money that you can make off it, the most important thing is that it takes away the guys at the top who print the money, because the governing system is done by algorithms, not by people who can insert their own will into it. And so the number of Bitcoins there will be is already set. It's already done. They already know how much there'll be at any given time. And there's nothing anybody can do to change that ever. So the digital scarcity is its most valuable property. And it is the one thing that most people will never come to really grasp. But nonetheless, acquiring as much Bitcoin as possible in the next year or two should be everyone's goal.
What would be, you know, you said a half a Bitcoin would probably be ideal if you just want to be set for life and just buy it and set it aside.
Well, if you have a 0.28 Bitcoin, you're a 1%er in Bitcoin. I'm just 0.28. So, you know, if you have 0.28, when Bitcoin hits a million, roughly in 2025 to 2027, somewhere in that range, you know, you'll have what, $250,000. So, you know, it's really how much do you need to retire these days? I'd say you probably need $1 million to retire. You know, so everyone should try and get a Bitcoin.
I know I probably asked you this before. Do you think it'll be centralized in any way in anytime soon?
No, it can't be. And it's right now is as centralized as it'll ever be. And not centralized as far as the currency goes, centralized as far as the points of entry and exit, the exchanges, where can you buy Bitcoin, things like that. Those are what become centralized. the network itself never will be. As long as you have a minimum of 12 people mining around the world, you're considered decentralized. So yeah, we'll always maintain that. The question is, like, there's about 8% of the hash power right now that is no one knows who's mining it. I think it's the nation of Iran. I think Iran is mining heavy Bitcoin right now. And it'll probably make them a world power in a couple of years.
Now, we are currently, I guess they're not shipping them until when, May, the helium miners?
No, they're shipping them in March, mid-March. I think a couple got sent through, but the majority of them will be out in middle of March. And so there's a bunch of things when you get the helium miner in. If you haven't joined our helium chat, we have a helium miner chat on Telegram. We can coordinate and ask questions and stuff. But they're going to call you on the phone. They're going to verify your address and stuff. And they want to make sure they're not sending out $300 worth of hardware to nobody, right? So it's important to answer the phone for them, take that phone call, and make sure you download the app onto your phone, the Helium app, and then register your wallet address with Emirates by sending them an email. Their dashboards are offline right now. They're rebuilding them. They'll be back online in a couple of weeks. And once they're back up and running, you'll be able to log in and add your wallet address and all that stuff. And of course, if there's any questions, always just get a hold of us and we'll help you out.
Now, for those of you guys that don't know, what we're talking about is a new opportunity for you to mine your own cryptocurrency. We're involved with this company called Emirate.io, and they basically giving away free helium miners. You can get them through us for free. Just click the link in the description. You're going to get your miner. Follow the instructions that Corey just mentioned. You can also get in touch with our Telegram chat group, like he said. Hook up your miner and earn free cryptocurrency. It is that easy. I mean, it's free money. So, like he said, they're going to get some more in March, but you can. They can. Can they order them now, or should they wait?
They should wait. They've pretty much said that orders that come in now aren't being shipped until mid-March or April. So they do them in batches. Last month, they made something like 16,000 miners. You know, it's going to be about the same this month. So they make them in big batches, and then they ship them all at once. And that's how it works. And so it took me about 4 weeks before I got mine when I first ordered it.
Yeah, definitely check that out. You don't want to miss out on free money, basically. And we've already made some off our own miner, just the miner itself, and it's awesome. I mean, you can't beat it. You can't beat earning free cryptocurrency, especially right now. Now's the time to get out of the banks, get out of that system, and get into something that you can actually be sustainable, and you don't have to worry about them tracking you or your expenditures or anything like that, which is great. So finally, Corey, do you have anything new or any previews of FKNCon or anything you'd like to share about your presentation or Kennedy?
Yeah, well, that's going to be a good presentation. It's been really frustrating because there's so much information. Just doing a timeline of November 22nd is difficult because it jumps around a lot. And so much happened that most people don't even know about. But yeah, I'm going to be doing it on Saturday night. It's going to be long. Well, here's the thing. It's either going to be long or it's going to be cut right to 2 hours, depending on how in depth I want to go. Because remember, I got to save some stuff for my book. Pre-orders for my book are now available. You can go to CoreyHughes.org and pre-order my book, A Warning from History. And so yeah, some of it I want to save for my book. Some of the Valenti stuff I'm going to hold back. But it's going to be a pretty complete telling of what happened, and it'll kind of expose the spy craft and that stuff that they used to pull it off.
That's going to be awesome. And you said your book should be released somewhere around November, right?
Yep. I'm shooting for November release. Once I get through Forbidden Knowledge NewsCon this year, my focus is going to shift exclusively to that. And I should have like the introduction and the first couple chapters done by like May. And then I should have the rest of the book finished and out by November.
Very good. And I want to tell you all a little bit about Forbidden Knowledge NewsCon, who's going to be speaking there. Let's see. We've got – let me pull up my actual FKNCon schedule here. I know I have it here somewhere. We're going to have 12 speakers. Let's see. Friday, April 2nd, 1 to 3 p.m., I will be joining Preston Dennett and Karen Holton, and we're going to have a contact, ET abduction, and UFO phenomenon roundtable. We're going to be discussing some awesome stuff. From 3 to 4:30, Jim Willis is going to be talking ancient history, advanced technology. 4:30 to 6, Preston Dennett is, again, going to be talking a little bit UFOs, ETs, and astral travel. 6 to 8, Ross Benn is going to be talking about the pseudo-pandemics of our past, just like we're experiencing now. 8 to 10, Jared Murphy, he's going to be talking also advanced ancient civilizations, engineered soil, polygonal technologies. That guy's got some amazing stuff. Saturday, the 3rd is 1 to 3 p.m. We're going to have a roundtable with Jared Murphy and Jim Willis. They're going to be going back and forth on some ancient awesomeness. 3 to 4:30, Pierre Sabak is going to be talking holographic culture and UFOs. 4:30 to 6, Karen Holton is going to be talking about the Intergalactic Settlement Program. And alien sexuality is going to be great. Then 6 to 8, we've got Micah Dank talking about astrotheology in the Bible. 8 to 10, probably 8 to 10, 11, 12, 1, 2, we got Corey Hughes. He's going to be giving his JFK presentation. Sunday, final day, 1 to 3 p.m., Corey Hughes Roundtable. We're just going to be sitting down and dissecting everything you heard the night before, help you digest everything, and get you some questions in there. 3 to 4:30, Sonia Barrett is going to be talking consciousness, health, and wellness. 4:30 to 6, Dean Henderson is going to be talking about the Nephilim crown and control and our ongoing apocalypse. 6 to 8, Deborah DeVars is going to be presenting actual physical documentation of the draconian measures that are being taken by our own government right now. And 8 to 10, Leo Zagami is going to be talking AI, Cyber Satan, and Illuminati rituals. That's going to be awesome. You guys really don't want to miss any of that. Again, that's going to be April 2nd, 3rd, and 4th. Go to forbiddenknowledge.news to get your tickets for that right now. And I think that's pretty much all we got. It's not too long of a show for you tonight. We just wanted to give you some updates. Tune in tomorrow. We are going to be talking to the Venus Project. And again, you explained to me a little bit about what the Venus Project does. What did they do again, Corey?
Well, they've envisioned a society without money. And all the things that govern a society when you take money out of the equation. It's pretty fascinating stuff. They've been friends of mine for a long time.
Very cool. So tune in tomorrow for that. And then Friday, we got Stephen Bassett and Darcy. We're talking UFOs and Bigfoot, so you won't want to miss that either. So until next time, everyone have an awesome evening, and we'll see you then.